Today we are going to read from verses 5 to 14. As we learned last week, St. Peter says, I am the shepherd of the flock. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And then we should be also serving the Lord and looking after the flock. And today he's saying, likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Now here, younger submitting to elder can be elderly person, or you can take it, the younger minister can submit to the elder minister. Either way you take it. You all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with the humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Each and every brother and sister, he says, you should be subject to one another. That means each and every brother and sister should be listening to one another, loving one another, and helping one another, because we are all one in the body of Christ. And he says, be clothed with the humility, for the God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. As we know, first sin was committed by the angel, and his sin was what? Pride. And he resisted God, and he was so proud, so the word of God says he fell from the grace of God. Now the word of God is saying, be clothed with the humility. When you say be clothed with the humility, that means you should be covered by the humility all over. We should not be naked in a spiritual way. So he said, be clothed with the humility, means let the whole world know that you are a humble servant of God, or you are the humble man of God, you are humble, the brother and sister, the child of God. And that's what he's saying. And then he says, God resisted the proud. And we learned that how God took care of the enemy, and the devil was cast from heaven, and today he is fallen angel. He is fall from the grace of God, and he has no way to come back to God again. But thank God, the word of God says God gives grace to the humble. Once we humble ourselves in the sight of God, it takes humility to receive Jesus Christ. There are so many people today, they are so proud of their own religion. Even though that religion doesn't have any life, and that leader has not living according to the word of God, still those people blindly follow the leader. And some of the leaders, Jesus Christ said, the people who came before me, they were thieves and robbers. That means they were just robbing you from your finances and all what you have. And olden days, even though we saw, sometimes the people were not even allowed to read the Bible. And the olden days, some of the other religion, they also think their book is a holy book, and some of the people are not able to read their holy book. Once you start reading the word of God, then the word of God says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. So we have to read the word of God, study the word of God, to know the will of God. There are people who are not living the holy and clean life in this world. There are some of the leaders of some other religion. If you go and search their life, what kind of life they lived, what kind of teaching they gave, and compare with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came from heaven, he humbled himself, he died on the cross of Calvary, and he took the death penalty for you and for me. And not the word of God is saying, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God has given us grace. The word of God says, Ephesians chapter 2, and if you read verse 8, it says, we are saved by grace. So So no one should be proud that that person got saved by himself. Doing anything good, that goodness, the man's good works, are the filthy rags in the sight of God. If anybody says, I gave the money to charity and I traveled from this place to that place to go to some religious places, Hindus are doing it, Muslims are doing it, and some other religious people are doing it, they have to go to their religious place at least once in a lifetime, and then they will be blessed. This all called the good works. But the Jesus Christ is saying, you don't have to do anything. You just believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He has completed the work. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood for you and for me. There is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you humble yourself in the mighty hand of God and say, Lord Jesus, I am not even worthy to be get saved. This is just your grace. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. And Lord, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, what happens? You are saved by the grace of God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6 says something like this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Okay, so what the word of God is saying, God will exalt you in due time. What is the due time? Jesus Christ is coming. And all the people who believed in him, even though they are dead, they will be raised. And each and every person will get their reward. If you remember last week, I gave you at least 4 or 5 crowns what we're going to receive. So God is going to exalt you. We may be buried in the grave or may be burned to ashes, but Jesus Christ will come. According to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you read from verse 13 to 18, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then who are alive, we will be transformed and changed, and we will be meet with the Lord. That is a great hope for the believers. Let's read the 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In this world, we have trials, we have tribulations, we have problems, we have all kinds of troubles coming into this world. And people are worried about tomorrow. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, how I'm going to live in this world. I don't have a job, or I don't have a good pay, or I'm looking for good car or good house, or I don't have a children, I don't have a wife, I don't have a husband. All of these things we are worrying. If you read in the Matthew chapter 6, and if you start reading from verse 25, then the word of God says, why you worry for tomorrow? And verse 33, if you read, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things he's talking about? He's talking about the worldly people looking for the worldly things. But the word of God says, God knows your desire. God knows what you want, and he will give it to us. We don't have to go after the things of this world. We go after God. And God supplies all our needs. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many needs? All needs. Not a single need will be not met, because God has promised and his promises are true. The word of God says, Jesus Christ was in his glory. He left the glory and he became poor for you and for me. With his poverty, we can be rich. All the richness of God all the glory of God is given for the believers. So the word of God says, why are you worried? We have to give our problems to Jesus Christ. We are carrying our burden, and our burden is very heavy. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, he says, O heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If you have a burden, I don't know what kind of burden you have. Each person has a different kind of burden they are bearing. And everyone says that burden is heavy. You might say to somebody, oh, that's no problem. He say, you don't know, you are not in my shoe. But Jesus Christ says, no matter what problem you have, come to me. Oh, heavy laden, this he's saying, you have a heavy load on you. Why don't you come to me and give your load to me, and I will carry your burden. Whatever the problem you have, why don't you give it to Jesus Christ? Some people I have heard, some people say, I don't think I want to take this prayer to Jesus Christ. I don't want to bother Jesus with my problem. Sir, Jesus Christ came for your problem. You cannot handle your problems, small or great. You have to give it to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will be buried in your problems. You have to give it to Jesus Christ. That's why he said, cast all your cares. Not one, all. Because he is able to take care of all your problems. Sometimes people say, I can handle this. I don't need Jesus in this. But I'm telling you, if you say I can handle it, even the simple little thing, you won't be able to handle it. You need the grace of God for each and everything. When you're sleeping in the night time and get up early in the morning, you should supposed to say, thank you Jesus that giving me another day. There are people cannot open their eyes. There are people cannot breathe. There are people cannot walk. There are people cannot talk. There are people in the hospital dying without God and without Christ. We have to be thankful to God that God has given us another day. And we should be thanking for each and every little thing. The word of God says, if you are faithful for little thing, he will do great things. So what we have to do, all our problems, we give it to Jesus Christ. The word of God is saying, casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. He is the only one can take your burden and release your burden. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can you imagine that the word of God says, the burden is light? That means the devil puts your yoke on you, and that his yoke is heavy. He puts the yoke of iron. My Jesus was a carpenter. He did some carpentry work, and he made some kind of yokes so easy, so light. Yeah. So he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Amen. So we have to come to Jesus Christ. He knows how to take your burden, and he makes your burden light.
Amen.
Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, what the word of God is saying, be sober and be vigilant. Why he's saying that? Because Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Amen.
If you are drunk, you cannot be sober. There is not a single person can be drunken and have a right mind. If you drink, you don't have the mind of Christ. God has given us the pure mind, the pure heart, and pure conscience, and live a pure life. But once you start drinking, your mind is not sober, and you are not vigilant. then what happened? The devil will come to attack you. Devil only attacks the people who are not sober-minded. If their mind is polluted, then the devil will come to destroy them. There is a saying, the idle person's mind is what? Devil's workshop. When you are sitting idle, doing nothing, the devil will come and make your mind is his workshop.
Yes.
That means he will give you the bad idea to do wrong thing.
Yes.
Do you know these people who are drunk, they are the one go and fight with somebody. They are the one take the gun and kill somebody. Why? Because they do not have the right mind. So the word of God is saying, be vigilant. The word of God says, be sober. Because your adversary, who is our adversary? The devil.
Amen.
We have the enemy who is the devil. And that enemy wants to destroy you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds
yes.
of the unbeliever.
Yeah.
So they could not see the glory of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is glorious.
Amen.
And he wants to give us all the glory, all the power, and all the majesty to you and me. But the word of God is saying, the devil now what he's doing, looking all around, walking about, seeking whom he may devour.
That's right.
So if somebody is sitting idle, drinking, smoking, gambling, and womanizing or doing all kinds of evil things, devil is already destroying that person. So if you are a believer, you have no business taking a liquor bottle in your house or in your table or in your glass or in your mouth, because the word of God says, be sober. This is a command.
Amen.
Be vigilant. This is a command.
Yes.
And if you don't do it, he says, why you do it? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Yes.
That's what he said, because devil is after you. That's why we should be having the right mind to resist the devil. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Who resists steadfast in faith? That means you have whom? You have to have that kind of faith to resist the demonic forces. Only by faith
yes.
we can resist the devil.
Amen.
If you don't have faith, we are going to lose the battle. Then somebody says, I don't have faith. Each and every person,
yes.
God has given the measure of faith.
That's right.
Now, once you have faith, you have to develop your faith.
Amen.
How can we develop our faith? The word of God says, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, the faith comes by
hearing,
hearing by the word of God. He did not say the faith comes by hearing. He says, hearing and hearing. What does it mean? Keep on hearing the word of God. Keep on studying the word of God. Once you start studying the word of God and hearing the word of God, your faith is going to increase. Not only that, the word of God says, the author of faith is Jesus Christ. If somebody has the money, where is the money? In the bank. If you need the money, you go to bank. If you need anything, a food, go to the food store. Whatever you need, you go to that person. Jesus Christ, the author of faith. So that means he's invented faith. If you need a faith, go to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Steadfast in faith. Knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that you are in the world. What is trying to say? Before us, the believers have passed this way. They were afflicted, they were killed. If you read Hebrews and chapter 11 from verse, whole chapter, but when you see from verse 32, it says that how much problem the faith warriors had. They were stoned, they were stoned, they were killed. If you read the first century church history, you would know how much suffering they had because of Jesus Christ. They were thrown in the lion's den. The lions and tigers, they killed them alive and ate them. And they were burned. And they were like a burnt on the stake. And people made fun of them. Thank God the gospel has reached to this 21st century so we can believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Word of God says they have affliction and they have trouble and they set the one good example for us. Hebrews 12:1.
Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses.
We are surrounded by the cloud of witnesses. The people went ahead of us. They are like a witness, as a cloud of witness all around us. And so, we are not alone. Jesus Christ set an example for us and He went ahead of us. So, we do not have to suffer. And even though we are suffering, we are not alone. We are suffering with Jesus Christ.
Right.
1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you.
Amen.
God has called us with a definite high calling. Our journey is not finished yet. We are following Jesus Christ. God has called us with a definite high calling.
Amen.
But the God of all grace, what does it mean? Our God is the God of all grace.
Yes.
He will comfort us in all our trials and tribulations. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 2.
Grace be unto you and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble.
So what the Word of God is saying, our God is the God of all comfort. He knows how to comfort you. When you go through all the trials and tribulations, we don't want to have any trials and tribulation. But the Word of God says, if you want to comfort others, then you should go through this road so you will have a testimony. I was there. God was with me. He didn't leave me alone. And I believe that our God is a God of all comfort and of all grace.
Amen.
And the Word of God says, my grace is what? Sufficient.
Amen.
In everything, what we need is the grace of God.
That's right.
We cannot do anything without the grace of God. Each and every little thing we do, we need a grace of God. Do you know when somebody is very sick and having a very low blood, opening eyes is a problem? It takes a lot of strength to just open your eyes. What I'm trying to say, we need grace of God.
Amen.
Everything what we do, opening eyes, taking a step, taking a breath, using our hands, using our feet, whatever we do, we are doing by the grace of God. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us with His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. We will have a problem, but God has called us what? Unto His eternal glory.
Amen.
God has called us unto His eternal glory. What does it mean? We are going to get the glory of God. So our mind, our eyes should be focused on the glory what we're going to get.
Amen.
Jesus Christ set His eyes on the goal. and never turn back. And so we have to focus on Jesus, because last week, if you remember, we learned the crowns what we are going to get. 5 different crowns God has prepared for the believers. Set your eyes on His eternal glory. How can we do it? By Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot reach to the glory of God or the throne of God ourselves. We do it by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had made easy for us and prepared the way for us. And He says, after that you have suffered a while. Our suffering is not for eternity.
That's right.
In this life, we live 120, and people are trying to make it more years. But even though we live 100 or 500 years, still that life is short comparing to eternity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you have that kind of hope in Jesus Christ, then you know our suffering is for a while. When somebody gets a sickness or some disease, they think it will never go away. Looks like a mountain. A tumor, a cancer, or some disease, even though you got a little bit fever, you think like, I'm going to die. But if you start concentrating on those sickness and disease, you're not going to come out. Why I'm saying this? Every disease starts with a little fever, or little coughing, or little sickness. And that develops to something else. And people can even die with a fever. What I'm trying to say, if we resist the sickness and disease, say Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for me, and with His stripes, I am healed. The devil is a liar. He is a troublemaker. But the Word of God says our suffering is for the while.
Wow.
And once we are steadfast and holding on to Jesus Christ, my sickness, my disease, I'm going to put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. You suffer a while, He will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Can you imagine? Once you pass your test, He makes you perfect. Mm-hmm. People are saying, if you go on some denominations, even the Christians, they say, we will never be perfect.
Yeah.
We are human, we make a mistake, and we will never be perfect. This is the devil's tool.
That's right.
We'll tell you, you will never be perfect. If somebody tells you, you will be never be perfect, then in your mind is settled, I can commit sin. Nobody is perfect. And if I commit sin, that's not my fault. That's what we think. But the Word of God is saying, we have to believe that Jesus Christ came and died for me. Mm-hmm. I was a sinner. I was not able to save myself. When He died for me, He washed me thoroughly.
Yes.
He washed me with His precious blood, and there was no sin left in me. Jesus did not do half job. He did not say, I'm going to wash you 50%. And then 50% you have to cleanse yourself. Doesn't work that way. He cleanses thoroughly. The blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse all our unrighteousness.
Amen.
He says in 1 John chapter 1 verses 7 to 9. So the Jesus Christ blood is all sufficient to cleanse all your sins. And this thing, this was a person, and Jesus Christ, this was a person, people are listening on the radio, they would not know what I'm doing. I'm holding a book in my hand. And I'm saying, if this was the person, and this person was dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ and took it out and completely white as a snow, then somebody would say, this is completely pure and holy. That's what Jesus Christ did. He did not do half a job. You should be boldly saying to somebody, I was a sinner. Now I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
And I'm not a sinner, but I'm a child of God.
Amen.
But if you start saying, I'm still a sinner, that means Jesus Christ has to come and die again.
That's right.
He also did the perfect job. The Word of God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 10, it says, He has perfected us once for all.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is the all-sufficient God. He will make you perfect. He will establish you. What does it mean, establish? That means you will be in the solid rock. You will be unmovable. Devil has no power to push you around. Amen. Once you are a child of God, you have to believe that God is with you and devil has no power to fight with God.
Amen.
The word of God says, once we give our tithes and offerings, he says, I will fight for your devourer.
That's right.
We are belong to Jesus Christ. We have nothing to worry. 91 Psalm, if you read the whole Psalm, he says, if you abide in God and if you be under his feather, under his wings, and all the trials and troubles will come through, but you can see with your own eyes, but it will not harm you.
Amen.
He says, because you loved me.
Amen.
When we love Jesus Christ, when we love God, he will protect us.
Amen.
You know, the tsunami came and so many people died and still people are dying. But I heard the testimony of one Christian man. He had the orphanage and I don't know how many children he had. When this came, he got some kind of inspiration. Get out, get into the boat, take all the children, and they put it in the boat, and then he headed to the shore, means where the water is, and somebody said to him, maybe a god, he said, go over the tide or the waves coming, over it. Now this was not easy, but he said, by the power of God, I took over and I was on the top of the waves and I was safe. He said not a single child was killed.
Amen.
In that tsunami.
Amen.
That is the power of God. This kind of testimony in the ordinary television shows. But what I'm trying to say, the word of God is true. 91 Psalm you have to read when you are having trouble. He says, not only he will save you, in the last verse he says, he will give you long life.
Amen.
That's promise. So he says, I will establish you. Once you are established like a rock, we are the lighthouse.
Amen.
Nobody can move us. We are established in Jesus Christ. The word of God says, the winds of doctrines will come. No church doctrine, no other denomination, or no other religion can move my faith from Jesus Christ. Nobody can move us. And what he's saying, strengthen, he is going to strengthen you. St. Paul says, when I'm weak, I am strong.
Yes.
So the word of God says, let the weak say what?
I am strong.
Amen. When you come to Jesus Christ, so he says, I'm going to settle you. I'm going forward in Jesus Christ. Verse 11.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Nobody has power to rule over me. No man, no devil, but my king is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His kingdom is for forever and ever. Jesus Christ is coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And nobody is going to defeat him. And get hold of that Antichrist, get hold of the false prophets, and put them alive in the lake of fire.
Yep.
And then he takes care of all the enemies and establish his kingdom called Millennium Kingdom. By the grace of God, all the believers will be in the Millennium Kingdom.
Yes.
And then the word of God says, if you read the Revelation chapter 20, it says that devil, who is a deceiver, will be caught by in 1,000 years in bottomless pit.
Amen.
After the millennium, the devil will be loose. Some people say, why has to be loose again? He will be loose because he has given the final chance. Do whatever you want to do. Your days are counted. Then he goes to he goes to Gog and Magog, means get the Russia and all other people like the sand of the sea and come against God. The word of God says the fire comes from heaven,
yes,
and destroys him, and then get hold of Satan and put him where the Antichrist and where the false prophets are alive in the lake of fire. Put that devil there and they will be burning for eternity. And then start the eternal kingdom. That's what the word of God says. His kingdom is what? Ever and ever. So the Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he has called us to be kings and priests. So we will be ruling with him. The Revelation chapter 3 says, you will be ruling with Jesus Christ in eternity as well as in a thousand year reign. So the God has given us great opportunity to be in his kingdom. Okay, let's go back to the 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12. Now this is just the greetings. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, and to you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. So what he's trying to say, I am encouraging you, my brethren, that God has given us grace. So I am exhorting you. I am telling you, he gave me grace, just like Peter is saying. Peter says, you know, I, as the shepherd, exalt you.
Yes.
Means encouraging other ministers. So he says, I am encouraging you and I am testifying that grace of God is true. That grace of God is so true grace, and within that grace we stand.
Yep.
We cannot stand alone. We can stand with Jesus and stand by the grace of God. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13.
The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluted you, and so doeth, Marcus my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Now he said the church in Babylon. Babylon was a bad city, but there was still a church there.
Yep.
So what the word of God is saying, we should be having churches everywhere. Good places, bad places, every places.
Right.
And why? Because Jesus Christ is with us.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ has given us grace to establish the churches everywhere in the world. Babylon was a bad city, and still Babylon, if you see Babylon, where is the Babylon is today? Where the Iran and Iraq is. There are still bad places there. But thank God, there are still churches there.
Amen.
There are Christians in Iran. There are Christians in Iraq. There are Christians in Saudi Arabia. There are Christians in Egypt. And they are going to grow. As the day approaching, many people are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I believe if Jesus tarries, the Christianity will be the number one religion in the whole wide world. The fastest growing religion is today is Christianity.
Amen.
People are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ every day. Saint Peter was saying, I exhort you to do the same work I have done.
Yes.
And then he says, greet one another with a kiss of charity. Charity is a love. Nowadays, even the kissing somebody with the love is difficult because people have become so evil. Their minds are evil. In those days, I'm talking about the believer's mind was pure. If you kiss somebody with a holy kiss, that's allowed. But if you have a dirty mind,
yep,
and unclean mind, and if you do that, then what happens? The devil will rule over you.
Amen.
Then he says, peace be with you all that you are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
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 Who is having peace? Without Jesus, there is no peace.
Amen.
The word of God says, they will say peace, peace, but they will not be peace. The peace comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You remember Isaiah 9, 6, he said, he will be called what? Prince of Peace. And the word of God says he broke the middle wall of partition through his blood and he made peace. Peace comes through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there is no peace. That's what he says. In Christ, we have peace. Thank God, our God is a good God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He has called us with a definite calling.
Yes, Jesus.
And we are going to tell the world.
Yes.
If you need peace, come to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
If you need grace, come to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
If you need salvation, come to Jesus.
Definitely.
If you need healing, come to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Without Jesus, there is no peace, no joy, no healing, no power. Eternal peace, real peace, comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you.
Oh, yes.
You are a great God. You gave a chance to come to the house of God.
Yes, you do.
And Lord Jesus, that your presence is here.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us from thy throne above.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Give us grace to let the whole world know we are called by Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
We are the followers of Jesus Christ.
Yes, we are.
And you have given us all the glory, all the majesty, and all the goodness. We need your grace and your power. Without Jesus, we cannot do anything. So Lord Jesus, give us grace. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things will be added unto you. Your promises are true. You have given us everything.
Oh yes.
Thank and you. Lord, we thank you what you have done up to now, what you're going to do. We commit ourselves into loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.